Hello, everybody. I'm Parrish Alford.
And I'm Logan Lowry, and this is Double Coverage.
Ole Miss and Mississippi State Talk brought to you by the Daily Journal and DJournal.com. Hello, everyone. This is Parrish Alford with the Daily Journal. I'm joined by Logan Lowry, our Mississippi State beat writer. And this is Double Coverage, talking all things MSU and Ole Miss for the next half hour or so. We're glad you've chosen to click in with us today. Logan, how are you, man?
Doing good, Parrish. Looking forward to the season getting going. Hadn't been able to see just a whole lot of fall camp so far at Mississippi State. So I know when the season gets going, I'll get a chance every Saturday to see the team. So I'm kind of looking forward to that. I know a lot of people in this area are looking forward to the same thing, probably for a different reason than I am. But, they're looking forward to football season being back.
I don't think any team in the country, Logan, was more excited to get on the field and just play football, practice football, than Ole Miss, with all that's been going on around the program with the NCAA investigation and more recently the forced resignation of Hugh Freeze as coach. We're going to talk a little NCAA in the program, but we're going to hit more about the season opener for these teams. That's coming up soon on September 2nd. We'll talk a little camp news as well. Before we get farther into that, I want to remind you about our news podcast, The Memo, All Things Northeast Mississippi. With Brad Locke and Derek Russell, that comes to you every Wednesday and Friday. Be sure to check out Prep Rally as well for all your high school sports needs. That's with Dalton Middleton, our new high schools writer. We're excited to have Dalton on board, and he is tearing it up. Logan, let's talk NCAA right off the bat. Ole Miss released on Wednesday the NCAA response to the Ole Miss response. So, you know, Ole Miss rebuts the charges, disagreed with many of them, is contesting many of the 21 allegations, and basically the NCAA gave no ground. Ole Miss went to great lengths to tear down the testimony of Leo Lewis of Mississippi State, and Leo appears in many of the allegations, particularly the ones involving Rebel Rags and, you know, and others. So Ole Miss is trying to discredit Leo Lewis. Well, the NCAA response comes back and says that Ole Miss's own people, and we're talking about Barney Farrer and some of the others that Ole Miss is building testimony around, are not credible. So basically, it's on to the Committee of Infractions. That comes September 11th at the Embassy Suites in Louisville, Kentucky, and it's going to come down to who this NCAA committee chooses to believe or listen to there in, not Louisville, Kentucky, Northern Kentucky, actually Covington, Kentucky, almost Cincinnati. It's going to be at an embassy suite, so everybody will have a good breakfast and we'll be ready to go. So that's coming up September 11th. Could be as many as 3 days. Probably that meeting will conclude before 3 days, but the space is reserved for that long. So that's where this is headed now. Logan, let's talk football on the field a little bit. I know you haven't seen as much of the Bulldogs, but, you know, what's going on? Are there any positions that are really being contested right now?
There are a few spots on the field, mainly tight end, right tackle. There's a few spots on the defensive line, especially the defensive end that could raise some spots, and safety. Mississippi State has a number of safeties, you know, but the defensive battles really aren't that major of a concern, really, I wouldn't think, because all those guys are going to play on the defensive side of the ball. And, you know, even at tight end, you know, all those guys are going to get on the field. They're going to get plenty of reps. It's almost like a wide receiver, like who starts a wide receiver. That's really not that big of an issue because, you know, it could change it depending on the package that they run out for the first play of the game. So, you know, there's some spots that are going to be moving and shaking. We'll have to kind of see where everything is, you know, in a couple of weeks from now. But, you know, I haven't talked to a single player or coach since I've talked to you last Friday when we did this. I've talked to you since I've talked to a player or coach. And we've only had one media availability since last Friday around noon. And the one coach that I requested no-showed me. So I haven't talked to a player or coach, and that was back on Monday. But we are supposed to talk to Dan Mullen a little bit later this afternoon to find out about Tuesday's scrimmage. That was the first time that they've scrimmaged inside Davis Wade Stadium. We'll have to find out later on this evening what he said. You can check out tomorrow's Daily Journal to find that out. I'll have some more stuff up later on tonight on the website at djournal.com to find out what Dan Mullen had to say, kind of his impressions of the first scrimmage. But yeah, that's kind of where it's at right now, you know, just kind of a lot of hearing and really not knowing things and really not even hearing a whole lot right now. So it's a lot of guesswork on my part, what's going on. Hopefully before that season opener against Charleston Southern, I'll have a better idea of what this team's really made of.
So Camp Mullen down at the farm really is a closed process right now and really working hard to keep the flow of information at a minimal. Logan, as all of these schools restrict access a little bit and things change, Ole Miss still in that regard is pretty open, comparatively speaking, to other schools. Now, we did see the Rebels work out on Monday for the full length of practice, and we saw about 10 periods on Wednesday. We spoke with the coordinators after Wednesday's practice, and, you know, there are some positions being contested. I think that the thing that stands out right now defensively as Ole Miss tries to get better on that side of the ball after a really terrible year in 2016, nobody has really emerged at free safety. And Wesley McGriff told us that'll be a position by committee more than likely unless someone steps up and takes hold of the job. Nobody's done that yet. I think – if I had to guess, the long-term answer there would be Ken Webster, who is a career cornerback, now a junior, coming off an ACL tear, a pretty bad one. McGriff says his knee is fine, says that's not been an issue for Webster in camp, but Webster is suspended for the season opener against South Alabama, along with middle linebacker Dietrich Bing Dukes for their shoplifting arrest right before camp started. So Webster, while he's practicing and getting ready, is not a part of the plan for the season opener. And the players in that position will most likely be junior, because he redshirted, C.J. Moore and senior C.J. Hampton. But neither of those guys have really stepped up and won the job. So Webster could be the long-term answer there. But, you know, they've got to get through the season opener against South Alabama. Elsewhere, Phil Longo, the new offensive coordinator, really likes the camp that he's seeing from Shea Patterson at quarterback. Says Patterson gets better every day. That's good news for the Rebels at that position. They have a lot of weapons, but that quarterback position is so important. And, you know, the run game is a big question mark right now. You know, that's why Longo was hired, to kind of improve what had been a stagnant run game. They really like Jordan Wilkins at running back. They believe he brings the strength and the physicality that they want at the position. Wilkins kind of tweaked a knee earlier in the week. Longo said that was kind of blown up out of proportion, that he's going to be okay. He could have practiced Wednesday, but they held him out. They want to see what some of these other guys can do. Right now you're looking at sophomore Devon Penniman and Eric Swinney, also coming off an ACL tear, Eugene Brasley. A lot of these guys kind of in a pack behind Wilkins. They want to get reps for those guys and see if someone will kind of give them a clearer picture of what that depth chart will be like beyond Wilkins. But they really need to keep Wilkins healthy. Logan, let's talk about those season openers a little bit. Start with South Alabama. I look and I see the Jaguars last year, obviously most known in these parts for defeating an SEC opponent on opening day at Mississippi State a year ago, rallying to win that game. They went on and defeated a ranked opponent later in the year. I think they finished 6-6, maybe 6-7. They were the number 5 passing team and number 5 total offense team in the Sun Belt Conference. What do you remember about the Jaguars, and what should Ole Miss expect on opening night? That'll be a 6:30 kick at Vaught-Hemingway Stadium.
Well, one thing about it, you can expect a fight out of South Alabama. It was just a strange game all the way around from Mississippi State last year. If you remember last year this time, Mississippi State was so unsettled at the quarterback position, had 4 players battling during camp to win that job. One of those transferred out, kind of later in fall into fall camp. And so three guys battling, didn't even know who the starter was going to be leading up to that, to the first snap of that ball game. And it ended up being Nick Fitzgerald. They go 3-and-out the first series, 3-and-out the second series. And that's pretty much the end of Nick Fitzgerald's day. They go with Damian Williams the rest of the way, and he kind of dinked and dunked and really just didn't have that great of a day, but, you know, at least he was moving the change a little bit. And really just, it was just a strange game. You know, South Alabama scores to go ahead in that ball game with 57 seconds left. They hit their tight end in the end zone. And I believe that tight end, you know, Gerald Everett, was really, really good. I think he's gone on now, if I'm not mistaken, Parrish. An NFL caliber tight end for sure. And they hit him with 57 seconds left. Damian Williams comes back out, leads Mississippi State right down the field. Boom, boom, boom. Runs the 2-minute offense to perfection. Sets them up for a 28-yard field goal. You know, seemingly that's a makeable field goal. And most field goal kickers at the college level hit that, you know, with ease. But Weston Grave pushed it to the left just a little bit. It hits the left upright. And South Alabama wins that ball game. Just shocks everybody in that stadium. So, you know, Mississippi State was trying to replace Dak Prescott at the quarterback position, and was definitely not a great debut for Nick Fitzgerald or any quarterback for that matter in that ball game. And just a strange game, and, you know, kind of led to a pattern. We'll talk about that later on in the show, just how many close ball games Mississippi State lost last year.
You mentioned Nick Fitzgerald there, and you know, I look at him, Logan, and I hear so much about people say he needs to improve as a passer. And I saw what he did on the ground last year, but what was your assessment of him in the spring? You know, does he need to make great strides in that area? Did he accomplish some of that in the spring?
He did to some extent, but, you know, at the same time, spring practice was closed too. So really the only chance I saw of him during the spring was during that spring game when he threw three interceptions. So, you know, really wasn't that great of an impression there. But the thing that you see from him is just he needs to have a better completion percentage. He was completed 54% of his passes last year. That's not that great. So, you know, just about a little over half of his passes were incomplete. And a lot of that was him being a young quarterback and trying to force the ball downfield instead of checking it down to some of his other receivers. And that's something he's really worked on in the offseason, is just trying to check it down, don't trying to force the issue. And he's got a strong arm, and, you know, he's a young quarterback and he likes to show it off sometimes. And, you know, that's part of the progression and the maturation of him as a quarterback, is to learn to take those check downs, you know, throw the ball hit the receiver in the flat, hit the running back in the flat, hit a tight end for some short yardage gains, and keep the chains moving forward rather than trying to hit the home run every single time. And, you know, it's going to be a transition for Mississippi State in that regard. You know, Fred Ross is gone. That was kind of his reliable target last year. Donald Gray is going to be kind of moving into that number one receiver's role. And then you've got all those tight ends that were really, really young last year that got a lot of playing experience. They've got to settle on some of those guys: Justin Johnson, Farad Green, Jordan Thomas. You know, those guys have got to step up, along with some 6'4 receivers that they signed. Jamal Couch played as a true freshman last year. He's 6'4". Osiris Mitchell, you know, Reggie Todd. Those guys have really got to step up, even though they're only in their second year of in the program. They really need some big things from those guys to kind of help move this offense along. And, you know, it's still kind of up in the air on Malik Deer. He hasn't practiced yet this fall. He's still coming back from that torn ACL that he suffered back in the spring. It's still iffy if he's going to play at all this year. I'm kind of leaning probably towards not. I saw him walking around the football building the other day. He still was limping pretty considerably. So I don't know if he was just coming back from rehab or kind of what that was, but it did seem limping. So that's definitely not a good sign. So we'll have to see how Mississippi State matures in the passing game, but they definitely need to make some strides there.
Let's talk a little more about these season openers. You mentioned South Alabama and the fight the Jaguars had against State and Starkville last year. Logan, as a product myself of one of these smaller schools, man, I can tell you there is talent at that level. There's not going to be the depth of SEC schools, but look, it's the South. You can find guys who can run. You can find guys who can catch. And the really good teams at that level have found guys who can be elite at quarterback. When you can find that, you really move your whole team forward. But there will be talent at that level, not so much depth. But one thing South Alabama certainly has this year for the players who were part of that team in 2016 is they know how to win. They know how to go on the road in an SEC environment and win. And I'm sure that they have kept up in the media and whatnot. They probably feel like they're going to face an SEC opponent who is a little bit vulnerable, an opponent who has question marks on defense, and a good offense can probably take advantage of that. I would imagine that that would give the Jaguars some level of confidence coming into Vaught-Hemingway Stadium. Ole Miss needs this game if the Rebels are going to exceed expectations. And in spite of the talent that we see on offense at Ole Miss with Patterson at quarterback, with four different receivers who were rated four-star prospects in high school, just a lot of size and ability at wide receiver. While the Rebels don't have depth at a lot of positions, they have depth and playmakers there. You know, while we see Jordan Wilkins at running back and an offensive line that is experienced, you know, this is still a team that was picked last in the SEC West, a team that was just 5-7 last year. And you throw in the turmoil off the field, and that's why there are not a lot of expectations outside the program for Ole Miss. The Rebels need this season opener. They need to follow it up with a win against Tennessee Martin at home the next week and be 2-0 going to Cal in week three, a middling Pac-12 team. If they can be 2-0, go out to Cal, play well, and come back with the win, then all of a sudden they're in position to exceed those expectations, to win some games, and Matt Luke needs every win he can possibly get in order to have that interim tag removed from his name at the end of the season. He'll be in the hunt depending on, you know, how these next 12 games play out. So the Rebels aren't bowl eligible, but they need to be bowl eligible. They need to be beyond 6-6. They need to have a good, strong winning season in order for Luke to be a strong candidate for the job at the end of the year. All right, Logan, Charleston Southern coming in to Starkville. All I can tell you is they're the Bucks.
That's about all I know about them. I really just haven't dug that deeply into them yet. And, yeah, I'll start breaking them down as the season goes along. But, yeah, it's a game Mississippi State should win. And it's probably not going to be as strong a battle as they had against South Alabama last year. But I think that South Alabama game taught Mississippi State a lot last year is, you know, you can't overlook anybody. And I think that's really what they did last season. It was just overlook South Alabama, and the next thing you know, they scored that touchdown with a minute to go, or less than a minute to go, and you know, it kind of shocked everyone. And they tried to rebound from it, and it was just a crazy, crazy day. But you know, like I said earlier, there were several of those games. Mississippi State finished 6-7 a year ago, had four games that were basically decided on the final play of the game, and all those were losses. Or they had five games decided on the final play of the game. During the bowl game, Mississippi State actually blocked a field goal to win that one. So it finally turned Mississippi State's way. But the first four of those games were losses for Mississippi State. We already talked about South Alabama. The LSU game down in Baton Rouge, LSU, had a pretty substantial lead, thought they had things on cruise control, started putting in some backups, and Mississippi State surges back with two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, and all of a sudden it becomes a very interesting ball game down there. And LSU ends up holding on 23-20 down there in Baton Rouge. Damian Williams came off the bench again and led Mississippi State to those touchdowns. So, kind of another things were still unsettled at the quarterback position there. But then they go out to Provo, Utah to play BYU, and that game goes into double overtime. Nick Fitzgerald, had that crazy dive across the end zone where he kind of hydroplates, sort of spins around midair to score in that touchdown, and then Mississippi State loses 28-21 at BYU. They come back the following week, go to Lexington, Kentucky. Mississippi State scores late in that ball game to take a lead, and you think that things might finally start going Mississippi State's way late in the game, and then Austin McGinnis kicks a 51-yard field goal as time expired. Mississippi State loses 40-38 in that ball game. So, State finished 6-7. you know, you add those four wins to what they already had, you know, that's 10 wins they could have had last year. And, you know, all of a sudden the 10 win season turns into a 6-win season. So, you know, it's kind of crazy how things can happen. That's kind of how small the margin is at this level. You know, you've got to be able to make those plays and finish out ball games. And that's kind of what Mississippi State learned as a young football team last year that I think that will help them as they go into this season. Kind of looking at this season's schedule, I got State going 7-5. Obviously, that's an improvement, but you know, there's some games that kind of hinge. You know, the LSU game, the Texas A&M game, the Arkansas game. Those are kind of the three games that Mississippi State needs to win. I've got those down as losses right now, and obviously, those are games that Mississippi State needs to win. And all of a sudden, that 7-win season can turn into a 10-win season pretty quickly.
Well, if Ole Miss can start out 3-0, then they go on the road back-to-back weeks to Alabama, State of Alabama twice, first to Alabama, then to Auburn. Yeah, I don't give the Rebels much hope in winning those games. I think those are losses. But after that, three straight home games, Vanderbilt, LSU, and Arkansas. Look, I think the Arkansas game is really important for Ole Miss, provided – that they start off 3-0 and have built that excitement and have generated some production and hope in the season. Arkansas is a team that Ole Miss just has not been able to figure out the last several seasons. I mean, you go back to 2014, Logan, you remember that year? The trivia question, name the first four teams in the first NCAA playoff bracket. Who were two of those teams, Mississippi State and Ole Miss? That'll be a great trivia question in years to come. 2014 was the Mississippi Mayhem year, a very special year for college football for both of the local teams. Ole Miss goes to Arkansas that year, coming off that Auburn game, that very emotional loss to Auburn, the devastating injury to Laquon Treadwell, all of that. They go to Arkansas. It's 2 weeks later. I think they had Presbyterian before, but you know, Arkansas, their first real test after that Auburn game, they lose 30-0. Okay. Obviously, that was an Arkansas team that was improving, but they had only recently won against LSU and snapped like a 17-game SEC losing streak. It was their first conference win under Brett Bielema. You know, Ole Miss, you're going there, you don't expect to get handled like they did. Then you go to 2015 and you know, it's a much up and down the field kind of game, and neither defense can stop the other offense. And finally, Ole Miss thinks it's made a fourth down play to win the game in overtime, and you get the lateral, and, you know, Arkansas goes on to win the game. That was the game that would have put Ole Miss in Atlanta. Had the Rebels won and had the rest of the schedule played out the way it did, the Rebels would have won the SEC West in 2015, but they did not because they lost to Arkansas. You look at last year's schedule, Logan, you could look and figure that Ole Miss was going to have a really difficult time in its first three games with Florida State and Alabama. They get big leads and squander them in both of those games. They lose some confidence. And, you know, they kind of bounce back a little bit with wins against Georgia and Memphis, and they get to Arkansas. And, you know, that's a time in the schedule where they can really kind of shift gears and maybe, you know, recapture the season or regain some momentum. But they go and they fall behind early, and there are some turnovers, and they scratch, they fight, they get a late lead, middle of the fourth quarter, can't hold it, can't get a stop on defense, can't stop the run. You know, the bottom line is, you know, Arkansas and Ole Miss have been closely matched in recent seasons, and Arkansas has had the better of Ole Miss in that series. The Rebels really need to turn that around because it's kind of the same thing this year. Arkansas is a middling conference team. They're not going to set the world on fire this season. If Ole Miss gets to that game in that three-game home stretch with some momentum, that will be a very big game in determining the future for Matt Luke, I believe. So keep an eye on that game as the season unfolds. Logan, you mentioned BYU a few minutes ago. I'm the AP poll voter for Mississippi this season. In the preseason poll, I had Alabama 1 and USC number 2 because I really like Sam Darnold at quarterback for the Trojans. Tell me about BYU, man. I thought about putting them in there. They're kind of on that on that cusp of being ranked. What did you see in that team last year? Because they went on to win 9 games, but just like Mississippi State had a handful of close losses, BYU had a handful of close wins. So their season could easily have tilted the other way, you know, or they, you know, you always have that close game that gets away. You know, that was almost a 10-win team a year ago.
Yeah, you know, they had a quarterback in Taysom Hill, is an older, experienced guy. He had dealt with some knee injuries. And then they had a really good running back. I think he actually broke the school record for rushing in a career against Mississippi State in that ball game. You know, he set this career mark. And it's kind of a veteran team, as you can kind of see at BYU sometimes. You know, some of those guys get back from those mission trips, and, you know, they're in their mid-20s, a lot of them. Some of them even in their late 20s. So a very mature team. And you really – it's kind of a strange group, because you really – get a new crop of players and a crop of older players joining that team every single year. So it's really hard to tell from one year to the next exactly what BYU is going to have. But, you know, they're going to have some older players, some more experienced players. They're going to have a lot of Samoans on that team. If you know anything about that culture, those are some tough folks over there in there. So it's going to be another battle. Fortunately, Mississippi State's got them at home this year. You know, I think the home crowd played into last year's double overtime game. You know, it was a very exciting atmosphere in Provo, and I think it could be the same thing here in Starkville this year. I think Mississippi State may have the edge this year with it being here at home. So we'll have to kind of see where that is. That game kind of falls starting just sort of in October, I believe. So, you know, we'll have to see how things are. Mississippi State will be coming off 2 road games at Georgia and at Auburn going into that ball game. So it's been a while since they played at home, you know, 2 tough battles, you know, in Athens and in Auburn. So we'll have to see how Mississippi State fares in those games and how healthy they are at that point when they face BYU here at home.
Folks, that's it for this edition of Double Coverage, a production of the Daily Journal. We thank you for clicking in with us today. Be sure to check out The Memo, our news podcast with Brad Locke and Derek Russell. All things Northeast Mississippi coming to you every Wednesday and Friday. And check out Prep Rally as well with Dalton Middleton for all your high school sports needs. Thanks for being with us, folks. Come back and join us next week.